twirling like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window and ice cold beer sitting in the console.
Hey, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 38, recorded on February 11th, 2025. First show of the year. Is this our first show, Pirate? Did we take that much of a break?
Nope, we had a show.
In January?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then it's been easily a month?
Yeah, it's like been that. A little bit.
Yeah, well, we're back, folks. We'd like to do a show every week, but sometimes in life and work, things come up. But
it happens.
Yep, it happens. But we got a lot of content for you guys tonight. Got a whole bunch of stuff we can talk about. But why don't we go ahead and get into the first big thing about what's going on in this country the last few weeks. So we're 3 weeks in with Donald J. Trump here as the president of the United States, and he's been kicking up some waves in the pot. I think mostly positive, but of course the opposition is, you know, hemming and hawing about.
Well, they're gonna push back a lot because they're, you know, the communist and the liberal and the Democrat, they don't give up easy.
No, they don't. Well, they're very good at hyperbole. They're very good at taking a molehill and turning it into a mountain and making an issue seem bigger than it has been. I mean, look at, you know, previous years with wokeism, with DEI, with the LGBTQT, you know, especially the trans. The gay thing, I don't care if you're gay. I'm totally cool with that lifestyle. Not for me, but whatever. I love gay people. The whole trans thing, that started just turning into something else that's just very odd for most people to accept, but we were told to accept it. And now under the leadership of Donald J. Trump, you know, the executive orders, getting rid of things, not that he can force you to, but at least within the federal government, you know, get rid of the DEI initiatives. And a lot of corporations are following through too. Toyota announced, Google says they're going to scale back, Disney says they're going to scale back. Now, that doesn't mean trust that they're going to completely scale back. They'll try to put in some slights here and there, especially entertainers like Disney. They'll try to put in little slights here and there. I don't completely trust Disney, and I have a love-hate thing for Disney because, you know, I loved it from the past era, but what it's turned into now, and the whole thing, so many reasons why Donald Trump is president again is because of stuff like this. I mean, what do you think of what he's been doing here?
Well, we have made a lot of leeway here, and the resistance, there is resistance.
Of course there is.
From the dark side. I mean,
deep state's pissed off about all this Doge stuff that they're uncovering.
And everything is being unveiled in front of what we anticipated happening. We knew a lot was going on behind the curtain.
And here's what upsets me. During the Biden administration, when it was brought up that he's probably corrupt and doing bad business deals through the government and everything, we were told to shut up. That's not true. There's no evidence. That was the talking point. There's no evidence. Well, now that, and this ain't an implication of Biden. This is just an implication of the Democrats telling us, don't worry about it. It's okay. There's nothing to see here. Quit looking at the man behind the curtain. Well, now Elon with Doge is pulling the man behind the curtain, and it's exposing all this fraud and waste, and they don't like it.
Yeah, the list is very long. I mean, we're looking at least we're in the billion mark of savings of government programs cut. Well, and most of it,
Trump said today, when they're done here, whenever this audit's finished, he says they think he can cut $1 trillion in spending. A trillion, not a billion, trillion.
Yes.
You know how huge that is? And what amazes me, Pirate, is the media, who doesn't have much of teeth left anymore, but the Democrat constituents in general are so threatened by these initiatives, and they're saying, oh, we're going to have a constitutional crisis here because Trump's overstepping his power. No, he's not overstepping his power. And again, where were these people when it was during Biden, when it was during Obama years? Because I can tell you where they were. They didn't care because it was their boy doing it. They'll turn the cheek when there's a D behind the name. They know they're corrupt. You could, they'll sit there and say, well, Trump's corrupt. I'm not arguing about Trump's corruption, if there is any. What I'm arguing about is the corruption that we try to say happened under the last president that you tried to deny and told us that it's not. And what cracks me up about this whole Constitution thing, all of a sudden they're for the Constitution? Where were they when they want us to inject poison into our body with that COVID shot? You going to tell me that's constitutional? All of a sudden they're going to take the moral high ground for the Constitution? Dude, that's a freaking joke. And they know it. And I see them complaining and crying on TV. No one's taking them really that serious anymore because they're not serious. They're not principled. They don't have morals. They don't follow their own set of rules, the Constitution. They want to bring it up now. How convenient. But they didn't give a shit before.
They trampled all over the Constitution.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And the fact is corruption has been rampant in this country ever since.
For decades.
Ever since Ronald Reagan left office.
There's some can argue that.
I would say since Ronald Reagan was out of office, starting from HW on.
Here's the play. They'll tell you that Reagan had Alzheimer's. He didn't know what he was doing. Okay, fine. You want to do that? You going to tell me Joe Biden was all there the last 4 years either? Oh, it wasn't nearly this bad as Reagan. They'll spin it right back to Reagan.
Well, the only good thing is that Reagan had a great cabinet in those days.
Yes, he did.
Great people working for him, just like Trump is instituting right now. A great team.
Yeah. Would you say Biden had a good cabinet?
Well, no, he had,
you heard about him.
He had
Mayor Pete, the transportation secretary. He was the most popular transportation secretary I ever heard in my life. And I'm being sarcastic, meaning he was on TV a lot. And it's like, why are we hearing so much about the transportation secretary? And I can tell you why. They wanted to interject that he was a gay man.
Yes.
So that's what they're doing. They were spotlighting him. Even though they didn't always bring up he's gay, they like the fact that we have a gay man.
And not only that, most of the positions that were employed in his cabinet or positions in throughout the government, most of them were payoff positions.
Oh, yeah.
I owe you. You owe me. Oh, I covered this for you. Oh, I slipped you $1 million for this. Program, you owe me now.
You scratch my back.
They were all scratch me back positions.
Oh, yeah.
Look at everybody in there. It's a bunch of misfits that were employed in that administration.
And that's what that Doge is exposing.
It's exposing all of their incompetence.
And here's the thing. He has been, it's only been 3 weeks. He is doing one thing after another. Even the media is admitting we're having a hard time keeping up with him. Because he still says his off-the-wall comments, like the whole turn Gaza into a Riviera. That ain't never going to happen. But these people fell for the trap again. Oh, see, he wants to turn a Muslim nation into a resort. What about the people? You know, it's like, oh, my God, you keep falling for this stupid trap. But that's what he does. He is going scorched earth in his own way. And people can't even keep up with it. Even as silly as it was, the whole Gulf of America. Dude, I thought that was a joke. I thought he was just trolling. Well, apparently it's official now. Because even Google Maps started changing to the
Gulf. Well, I thought it should have been that all along. Years ago, when I was a kid, I'd look at the map and say, Gulf of Mexico, but Florida, Alabama.
Texas,
Louisiana.
Yeah.
What the hell? We're most of the country. Mexico's way down in the Caribbean there.
They touch the same body of water.
But
you can say that about anything then, right? You can say the Gulf of America touches the Atlantic Ocean, technically. You know, technically the Atlantic Ocean touches the Indian Ocean, which then touches the Pacific.
Well, I think we should call the Atlantic Ocean the American Ocean.
Right. Well, I thought your proposition for the Gulf was the Gulf of Dixie.
Yeah, I think it's
I like the Gulf of Dixie, actually. I like that even more than America. But here's the thing. Okay, it's amazing that bothers them. And that's the thing that you and I talked about the other day. I want to turn those words against these people now. Why does that bother you? Why does it bother you to change the Gulf of America? Because guess what? Between Canada, the United States of America, Mexico, El Salvador, Panama, Costa Rica, let's name some of the lower continents. How about some Venezuela and some Brazil and Argentina and Bolivia and Chile? Guess what all those countries are in?
Starts with an A.
America.
That's right.
And we have North America, Central America, and South America. It just happens to be that we were sharing the same ocean with Mexico, okay, because they're considered Central America because we're part of the continent of North America. To me, okay, I get he's kind of wasting time, but he's not wasting time because he's trolling. Why does that bother you that we are now the Gulf of America? And they can't answer that other than he's got nothing else better to do. And I'm like, apparently not, because he's been doing a whole lot of stuff.
Well, he's delivering on his campaign promises. And this is what America voted for. We have had the worst 4 years of a cadaver president we could ever have.
No kidding.
And this is what they voted for. And he is no more Trump 1.0. He is forwarded to Trump 5.0.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what do you think about this thing with Greenland? Do you think we're really actually going to go after this property and try to acquire it legally? We're not going to attack. That's the other thing. These libs think Trump's going to send in the Marines and just invade Greenland. No, because the Dutch, who are our friends in Europe, you know, have government control over Greenland. It is technically theirs. We have to respect that, man. We're not going to go freaking invading Greenland. But what do you think about it? Do you think he's going to try it, or do you think it's a waste of time, or what?
What I understand, let's talk about what we see there. It has a strategic point, a launching point for possible drones, possible planes, maybe information systems.
We already have bases there, though.
We have bases.
The U.S., so what's the point of taking it over, though?
They have a drone base there. I mean, they probably want to build larger bases there. Maybe they also know that there are some minerals.
I've heard about the natural resources.
There's a lot of minerals there to be tapped. Who knows how much oil's there?
Well, the play I've heard, they're worried about China trying to do the same thing, them acquiring Greenland. And then if China acquires Greenland, we'll have basically a Chinese land very close
in our backyard.
Almost. Not exactly, but close enough.
If you look at the world globe,
right.
Look how close they are to our neighbor, Canada.
Right.
They are very close. And here's the perspective I'm thinking. You know, Trump, he knows how to do the art of the deal. I think he's going to figure out something where it benefits the Danes, benefits Greenland, and benefits us. There'll be some type of a deal, and I think it's going to happen soon. Because why delay? Because we know China is scrambling behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
They already know they got with Panama.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're scrambling.
Oh, yeah.
Because they want to be in our hemisphere.
So we need, you're right.
They want to be. They've already experimented with balloons.
Well, they did the balloons. Apparently, they're setting up military bases down in Cuba.
And also,
and Venezuela.
And the Changs have bought farmland, which under this stupid administration let that happen.
The Changs?
So, yeah, they bought farmland. We'd done a story about this many months ago. There was farmland being purchased up in the northern part of the states.
Yeah, and Ron DeSantis had to sign a law banning all that from
happening here.
From happening.
I mean, there were military bases within miles of these farms that are being purchased.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what type of, you know, military reconnaissance things they were setting up.
Yeah. Well, I like I said, I can. It would be the first ever expansion of America in a long time, though, if we somehow are able to legally again acquire Greenland.
Well, the world is changing at a fast pace.
What about Canada? Would you like to see them join the union? Because I don't know about that.
No, they're traitors.
Well, it's not even so much true.
Well, they are the ones that during our American Revolutionary War, anybody that went to Canada,
they hightailed and didn't fight. They stayed loyal to the crown.
During the Civil War, they went.
They basically got to become a country because of our revolution. They didn't have to fight at all physically.
They never tasted blood.
Well, that's why I don't. Well, no, they have. I mean, they were in World War II and all that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, for their origin or their genesis of their country, they basically allowed the Yankees to do all the heavy fighting. Literally,
they never had to taste blood for freedom.
While they went up north and said, we're staying loyal to the UK. We're staying loyal to King George. We're not doing this. But eventually realized that this ain't going to work out with the crown either, and declared their independence later on without having to shed any blood at all, which I find very convenient. That's why some people don't understand why, even in our own country, why do some people in this country don't like Canadians? Well, because it goes back.
It goes way back.
It goes way back. And here's my thing about taking in Canada, and I don't want them to. They'll have instantly a bunch of libs.
Yes.
A bunch of blue loving Democrats that which will pretty much guarantee no presidency win for decades. Look how much damage just in 4 years that Biden did. Can you imagine have 20 years of a Democrat president or even longer? We'd be done. I mean, we'd be absolutely
done. The only
done.
Way I could see it happening is if somehow freedom was very intense there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have, I mean, they have freedom there, but it's not the type of freedom.
They don't have the same freedoms as ours.
They don't have the freedoms that we have.
Trudeau tried to get those truckers arrested for protesting.
Yeah, they're very
amazing.
They're very, I don't know the word, communistic up there.
Very socialist.
Socialistic.
Yeah, very socialistic, and borderline. They're not actually.
They're borderline communists.
They're not even actually socialists. They are borderline socialists, meaning they lean left heavily with their beliefs and their politics of how much the government should be doing versus how much the individual or the person. Because here's the big difference between freedom-loving people in this country and liberals in this country. Liberals believe in the collective. Like, yes. Everybody has to do the same thing. Everybody has to be, even with culture stuff, like the trans issues and everything. No, you all have to be on board. Whereas us, as the freedom-loving individuals, are like,
we ain't gotta be.
Time out. I'm allowed to have a different opinion from that. I'm allowed to have an opinion just like you're allowed to have an opinion.
Exactly.
And that's where the conflict comes into. And I think all these topics we've been talking about is why Trump became president, because the common man is so sick and tired of being told what you have to do, what you have to accept, or you're a hater per se, you know. So, I mean, what else he's got going here? He fired the prosecutors who went after him on the classified documents in the FBI. So those people are out of a job. He's offering that buyout to federal workers. So far, 45,000 federal workers have agreed to the buyout.
Good for them.
You know, now it's not official yet because a judge put a temporary block on it. This is the deep state.
That's the resistance.
Yeah. Well, think about it. They're going to lose 45,000 people that aren't going to be on the payroll anymore. That's 45,000 less people they can control. You know, and it's a pretty sweet bail. You know, I 8 months of pay and all kind of bonuses, and you know,
I don't even know why they're giving them all that. Do they really deserve that?
Well, it's the new corporate way. Even though the federal government's not a corporation, it's the graceful way of firing you.
Yeah.
when they lay off. Hey, it's better than just being told right now you're fired tomorrow. That's it. You're done.
Well,
it's
like, crap. Hold your thought for a second. If Chewbacca, you're working at computer company, super whodunit. You got a keyboard job all day long. You did too many clicks this month. You know what? We're not going to tolerate that anymore. You're fired.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen to you at your company. Oh, pirate, cut the yard and put a bunch of plants in.
It depends.
You didn't do a damn good job. You're fired. There's no compensation package for me or you because we're normal working men.
No, I'm just saying it depends on the company. Now, that doesn't always happen with even IT computer world. But when I got laid off from Verizon, I got a pretty sweet package to leave. You know, I didn't get a choice, but they did it gracefully, which is nice. But either way, it's showing that if 45,000 people have accepted this package deal, are they unhappy with the way the federal government's work? Are they done with it? There's got to be. I'd like to hear more from the inside people. It's like, well, why'd you decide to take the package? You don't like working for the federal government, you know? And hey, how about Trump telling all these people they got to come back to the office, you know, because they are paying for these
buildings?
Maybe
they were hired and they were hired during a time when they were
going in the office anyways.
Intrigued
this
by
this is only temporary for the COVID thing.
Maybe they were intrigued by the way the administration at the time was running their policies. Maybe they said, well, I'm for transgender, so I'd really like to work for these people. Just like anybody in Trump's administration, they're all aligned with what he likes. Look at all the people that are aligned. Elon, you know, Hegseth, Bondi.
But the big, you know, but the big to do the alignment is the alignment. It's also called common sense. And that's what this country was seriously. It doesn't mean it's switched off overnight.
No one said that those people had common sense in the Biden administration.
But that's the point, that they were focusing on issues and topics that most people don't come about. Even today, the whole plastic straws things. I remember thank God, only a couple of times I encountered getting a plastic straw. They suck. They don't work. They come apart.
Are you meaning a paper straw?
Or a paper straw, I'm sorry. He signed an EO today in the federal government. No more paper straws. Well,
who the hell wants a paper straw? I've had them before, right, too. They get mushy.
Yeah, exactly. They're garbage.
They're lousy.
They're garbage. And you know what happened? We recycle, right? So why just throw the plastic in the recycle bin? You know, and then they argue, well, most recycling doesn't get recycled. It's like, you know what? It ain't got nothing to do with me. Once I put it in the blue bin,
that's not my fault.
Right. Where
not my problem.
Because I've been told that I'm supposed to be recycling if I put it in the blue bin.
Recycling's a joke, right, probably. So
that's what we're finding out.
All of this green bullshit's a joke.
It's all bullshit. And that's what this Doge is exposing, so many things that makes no sense. Like they found out, Fauci was going to get $165,000 for his little museum.
Why?
Scratching
Did you see
back?
All that you said? I didn't even know what the hell you said was. Okay? I thought it was a grocery store for all I know.
USAID.
Yeah, whatever. You said it.
you're making it sound like the old grocery store, man.
Well, that's what I thought it was. I said, what the? When I seen you said on the TV
so
screen.
So your mind is just stuck on you said.
It's you said. And I seen you said, and I said, what in the hell is you said? So I started looking into it. Dude, they had stuff like Algeria gets DEI $2 million for DEI program. Sesame Street in Afghanistan, right.
Federal government, man decides to become a woman, gets to transfer to a woman's prison, even though he hasn't transitioned yet. And then they'll pay for the transition, like hormone therapy, putting on fake titties, maybe eventually cut off your junk. And
do they give him a tummy tuck, too?
I don't know, man. I mean, why not? If you're going to get all those operations to change your sex, why not get a tummy tuck while you're in it, too?
Will they even call it tummy?
It is actually called a tummy tuck. I know how much you love that word. But I'm just saying, where in the federal government's purview are they supposed to be doing all this stuff? And the whole point
is our interest there? Dude, right. I'm thinking about looking at, like, the condition of our roads. I'm looking at people that suffered the hurricane damages in the Carolinas. Yeah,
they found that out. That
I'm
all
looking
this
at
money,
these fires
right,
that
right,
just
all
happened.
All this money went to bullshit, yet FEMA paid for illegal immigrants' hotels in New York City. They paid for that and their food and everything, yet the amount of money they gave to our own citizens in North Carolina is a travesty. All this is being exposed, man.
A lot of our federal buildings, how about the condition of, have you been to the post office lately?
No.
It's a literal joke, every single post office.
Falling apart.
Dude, they haven't upgraded some of them buildings in forever.
Yeah.
Why can't they put in the budget, okay, Afghanistan, you're not getting Sesame Street. Take the $2 billion.
Yeah, well, that's where it should be done.
Yeah, take that $2 billion. Okay, post office, you look like hell. Here's $2 billion. Fix up everything.
One of the conservative reporters, I forgot her name, said earlier today. She said we shouldn't be talking this much about our federal government. Is what it comes.
Why
down
not?
To. What I'm saying, her point being, the federal government shouldn't be this bloated to where we should, where we're talking about it. We should have our federal government where we elect these people. And we don't hear anything about them because they're not doing anything shady. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that's it. Like you said, not giving money to Politico, you know, a journalist, a paper in this country that then was making very pro Biden articles. No wonder they're writing pro Biden articles.
Well, they're getting money to do them.
Did you hear about the 60 Minutes thing? They finally released the entire unedited Kamala Harris interview.
I watched it.
They lied their ass off. They edited it to make her look smarter than she was. And then when I watched the unedited version, it was nothing but her typical word salads that made no sense at all. And then they said, well, off camera, we challenged her. No, that's in a way election interference, man. It is, because think about it. They're a mainstream media, you know, award-winning, Pulitzer Prize, 60 Minutes, been around forever, the news you can trust, right? And they fucking edited Kamala Harris's interview to make her look smarter. I just, like, talk about being in the bag, man. It just, all these things are starting to, you know, that's what this election's about. This election is about retribution, and it's about karma, because all these things you said you were for, and you probably still are for, you can't tell me why you're for it other than it's a program in the federal government that means something to me. And have you ever thought to think, since you're so big on the Constitution now, what's constitutional about your program? Nothing.
Not a
thing.
And so. here, you know, the other thing, let's talk about the border.
Oh, yeah, man.
We have been shipping some people away.
Well, not even that. We're shipping people away. We're strong-arming like Colombia, like, no, you're going to pay for this flight.
And they need to.
I'm going to tariff your ass. You know, he's been threatening the tariffs. And guess what? These countries have been backing down from it and doing what they're supposed to be doing.
And do you know why they need to be paying for it? Because they're the ones
who sent them.
They're the ones that let their country.
They sent them their criminals to us,
and they let their country deteriorate by having a dictator in charge.
Right, but then these libs here want to boo hoo hoo about people getting freaking deported, or you're going to separate families. They didn't give a shit about separating families during COVID. You know how many grandmas and granddads and parents and brothers and sisters who were sick died in the hospital by themselves because you and your stupid COVID protocols, you know, social distancing, wear a mask, all this stuff. You can't be around them because they have COVID or you don't have COVID, blah, blah, blah. They have the balls to talk about separating families now. Again, the Democrats have no principle. They have no morals. You can blame Republicans all you want to, and I'd be down for it. But what I'm talking about, when it comes to actual being a conservative, a constitutionalist of this country, all these things that Trump's exposing is a good thing, because we need to cut the fat. Because guess what? That's our money. Our money they keep spending. That's why we have, what, $36 trillion in debt? Because bullshit like this kept going on and on and on, and we were told, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Well, you do worry about it. Like even today, fucking average family to go to Disney for 4 days is like $4,000 now. No middle class family can afford that. That's bullshit. $4,000?
Well, what happened is, I mean, all of this stuff is all coming to focus right now.
Mm-hmm.
All of the DEI, all of the racist stuff, all of that was to get everybody to, you know, like you said, get into the commune.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody be in the same basket
and think the same.
We need to think
group,
the same.
Group think.
And that benefits them. What? One, so everybody can be a voter for them.
Or they can be controlled.
Or you can be controlled.
Oh, yeah.
COVID was introduced.
Because COVID was all about control.
COVID was an experiment that they wanted. They wanted to experiment on us.
Very big social experiment.
We might as well call that the social experiment.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't a pandemic. It was a social experiment.
And that's why Fauci was so fucking famous.
Oh, yeah.
We can say that. I forgot we're on the, we're not on the air. So yeah. Anyways, yeah.
You're allowed to curse.
Yes. And then, let's just say the immigrants coming from other countries and being sensitive to them is because they're going to be sensitive to their needs because they want the immigrants to say, oh, they care about us, those Democrats. Well, let's vote for them when we get there.
And they had the balls to pass local laws to allow them to vote.
Yes, they
weren't,
did.
They weren't allowed in the federal election, but the influence is still out there. The games they play. Well, look what happened in California with all those fires and people like, oh, that was uncontrollable. Bullshit. A lot of those reservoirs weren't filled up properly. The brush wasn't cleaned. You find out that you have a lesbian fire chief. She's a DEI hire. You find out that the budget to take care of homeless people in Los Angeles is bigger than the fire budget. You know, like fire budget, like actually saving and protecting people. You know, so
and like, then also what that one. City mayor was over.
Yeah, she went to Africa.
Africa for some wedding. Like, what the hell? She knows the fire's going on. Should have stayed there.
And she couldn't even answer the question. She says, no, we're moving on from this. And that's what it is. It's so obvious in your face that these people are corrupt and they don't care about you, but they want to act like they care about you. And let's vote for the Democrats because they're the ones who are going to keep fluoride in your water. Oh, wait a minute. Where's my choice in that? Luckily, you and I are on well at the house, so we don't have to worry about at least at the house. However, you know, most people drink bottled water anyways. But I'm saying, where's my choice? And people, they're like, I have people here locally that are flipping out that they're going to stop putting fluoride in the water. And it's like, who are you to tell me what to put in my body? Again, the same people who want to talk about abortion, my body, my choice, are pushing COVID vaccine shots that don't work. And now are going to sit there and tell you got to keep the fluoride in the water? I mean, they, again, no principles.
No,
they have no principles.
They want to be.
They are not consistent about. They are consistently inconsistent.
They actually want to be like us all over the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And look, let's reverse a little bit back to the. I was listening to something on a previous show. Of another DJ or talk show, and he was talking about the FBI agent. Somebody was a whistleblower and had leaked out some information about where a official raid was going to happen, an ICE raid.
I heard about that. Yeah, this guy's in major trouble.
And Bondi, the Attorney General from Florida, she busted their balls and said, look here. We will find whoever did this, and we will prosecute you.
Mm-hmm. Good.
To the fullest.
Oh, yeah. Yep, leaked.
And she needs to
leaked intel.
She needs to take her iron fist and smack it down so hard and say, we are not going to tolerate this.
Well, the raid could even have extra charges of what if that documentation was classified and you shared classified information with journalists.
That is a major no-no.
Well, unlike the Democrats, you know, at least this administration is going to do something about classified documents that you're not allowed to have or be trading around like that. I mean, that was that whole thing with the FBI prosecutors is that they did a raid on Trump's house under Biden for classified documents that he was allowed to have, mind you. Joe Biden did not. Yet you flip it around. Joe Biden is not going to get prosecuted because that's when that Robert Hur report started saying that he doesn't have he has cognitive decline. He could not stand trial. And then that's when the thing started turning in the election towards Kamala because they realized, okay, now the cat's out of the bag. They've known this. Like, they've known something was wrong with Biden all these years.
Oh, yeah. Covered
it up and denied. Or, you know, a couple of our lib friends tried to spin it and says, well, Trump's crazy. I was like, oh, that's your big comeback. And so instead of chastising the guy you put into the office at the time, you're going to try to flip it around on Trump, huh? No, that doesn't. Again, dude, talk about our DEI check marks. There are so many check marks we hit tonight of why I understand now why Trump became president. You know, I was skeptical about it. I didn't think he was going to win. But I tell you what, I'm glad he did win, because look at social media with Facebook saying we were forced to censor. They admitted it now and they're going to stop doing it and bending the knee to Trump. Look at all these CEOs of these corporations who are not like libs, but leaned left a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
they're in the middle, maybe.
Yeah, in the middle,
towards
whatever.
Left a little bit.
Yeah, Elon Musk says he's middle to the left. But the problem with the Democrat Party is they have no identity because they went too far left and they get their asses handed to them. So their identity is all, just like what you said earlier, all over the road, right? That's what they are right now. They don't have a true leader. They put David Hogg as the vice chair of the DNC, little twerp dipshit with him and his fucking guns. The guy is protected by guns. But no, he wants to come taking you and I away. We're the problem. Like, he basically accused you and me of going shooting up a school. Who the fuck is he? And you know what? That all that talk about dangerous. Oh, talk like that is very dangerous. But
yeah.
Dude, I'm enjoying this so far.
We
need to get off this horse and move on. But you know, we got a couple more things here to say.
We know that Trump is there for a reason. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And can you imagine if corruption was in the election and he somehow did not win and Kamala was in charge right now, what we would be talking about?
We wouldn't be talking about this kind of stuff because it wouldn't have been exposed. And it wouldn't have been the changes in these corporations wouldn't have done. The DEI wouldn't have ended. The wokeism would have kept pushing through, you know, and
the immigration would still be
immigration.
Going.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The crime would still be happening.
Well, the crime is still happening.
Rapists would still be walking the street.
That's still going to take a little while. But the point being is the border is closed now. He sent the Marines down there and the Army.
And the Mexican Army. Right. He forced them there. Yep.
And the walls construction is going to start back up. You know, we found a major tunnel system. You know, even Pete Hegseth with the DOD, he went down there. He's going to audit even the DOD. He's focused on the warfighter, not DEI.
Yes.
You know, which.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of Hegseth, he's going to go ahead and put all the old names back on the forts.
Yes. I saw that Fort Bragg is back. It was Fort Liberty. It's going back to Fort Bragg.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Again. Hey, flip it around. Trump's got nothing else better to do but to rename an ocean. Really? Joe Biden has nothing else better to do but rename bases.
Yeah.
And then, you know, those signs out in the front and all that stuff in the documentation.
They're not cheap.
All that has to get replaced.
Everything.
Now,
letterheads,
right?
Business cards,
right.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. The websites. Stationery, you know, the t-shirts at the PX. I'm serious. Even a fucking
everything.
T-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, that has to get switched back now to fucking Fort Bragg because it got changed to Fort Liberty.
I'm sure there's so much cost involved in changing not just one base, but how many bases they
changed. A lot of bases got changed, mainly Army bases.
Yes.
And they were named after Confederate soldiers. Like, get the fuck out of here, man.
Who cares? That was a soldier of the southern part of the United States during that time.
It was
our Civil War.
States of America.
Look, it's not memorializing anything else, but he actually was part of it.
And like it or not, the culture of the Confederacy is still down here. The culture, meaning,
yes,
and I don't mean the racist shit. I mean, that I can't stand that either. Racist. No, just the culture of that southern pride of what we have. And like it or not, this is America.
And we still fly the Confederate flag right here on 92.
That's what I'm saying. Like it or not, that is part of our history. And America is also about freedom of expression.
That's right.
So if you don't like the Confederacy, then don't talk about the Confederacy. Leave it alone. But there are still people down here there are going to be people down here for decades, centuries maybe, that are going to always cling to that because there's a lot of things that said minus the slavery about the Civil War that people don't want to talk about. And ironically enough, part of that is freedom to govern yourself, Now,
exactly.
Now, that didn't mean for the slaves. Don't take that the wrong way. I know it's like, hey, you want slaves? No. But in its purity of what freedom is supposed to be. And you know what? Slavery was going on its way out anyways, man. So there's this argument. Do we need to fight the Civil War over it? I don't know. But just, it was a dying thing anyways, man. It's not
humane. Well, they say at the time.
It's not humane. It's not moral. Again, who were mainly the slave owners? Democrats.
Exactly.
Who kept Jim Crow laws in the South? Democrats.
And that's going on during the 40s, 50s.
That's what I'm talking about. So these Democrats, with their morality, they don't have any.
And even during the Civil War and up to the Civil War years, the pirates weren't bringing as many Africans over here.
Yeah, right. Bro, the slave trade. No, it was dying out, man.
It was dying out. People couldn't afford it.
It's not even that. It's just the moral compass of it. It's like, nah, you shouldn't be snatching people up and putting them into bondage. You know, that's just not. They're human beings, man.
Well, it was the pirates. And
not even just the pirates, the warlords in Africa.
The warlords,
it's
too,
it's
yeah.
not like they just put the boat up the shore and just, hey, all you Yabros, get on the boat. No, they went to local tribes that were already captured for them.
Yes, yes.
And traded gold or money, whatever they had. Hey, that's why the pirate thing with the treasure chest, maybe they offered them a big thing of treasure.
They may have with doubloons.
Back in those days, that's how you had your wealth and your power was money.
Big old gold doubloons.
Oh, yeah.
Some necklaces, some crowns, pearl necklaces, all that good stuff.
Pearl necklace. So.
Yeah, they had pearl necklaces.
Let's move on. We got a bunch of other subjects here. But, man, you know, even with Trump, man, I'm just happy with what's going on, man.
Well, he's delivering on campaign promises.
Yep. Super Bowl. So we got together for that and had a good time. I know... you and I really didn't care, you know, which way it went. I guess I'm kind of happy it went in the way it did, but it's not like, you know, oh yay, I'm this huge Eagles fan now. No, it's not about that. It's just, I was getting tired of the Chiefs.
In my life would I say, man, we were watching the Eagles and we were rooting for the Eagles. I've never rooted for the Eagles.
Right.
Never have. I never will.
Yeah.
And I've never rooted for Kansas City, and I never have and never will. Did both the teams play good? No. Only the Eagles were playing good. At the end of the third quarter into the fourth, they tried to make a comeback.
Yeah.
Kansas City. But, yeah. I mean, the score was, what, 23-40?
Pull it up here, 40-22 for the final.
40-22,
That was an ass-whipping that the Chiefs took there.
And you know, I mean, they took a good ass-whipping. Maybe it's time for a change.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. Andy Reid is going to retire, the head coach.
And I think maybe...
At least he said he will.
I think maybe that win was symbolic of Trump winning the election.
Well, the Eagles are America's bird.
And I really think it was symbolic.
And he was there the first ever president to be at a Super Bowl. I didn't know that. I thought presidents been to the Super Bowl before. This is the first time ever.
I'm telling you, Trump.
And during the national anthem, he got a big cheer and applause. And
he had Ivanka with him.
Yeah. You know, the national anthem, John Baptiste. I've heard of him, but I don't know his music. I thought he did a pretty good job. I like the whole version on the piano that was different. I never
heard. Isn't he like a local New Orleans type?
He might
guy?
Be. I don't know. I heard his name or whatever.
I think he's like jazz pianist or something that.
Okay.
So I would have rather have seen more local New Orleans type folks there because isn't
well,
that,
then maybe that's why he was there.
And I really think like maybe even the halftime show should have been a local.
Well, that halftime show, that was.
Man, it sucked, dude.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
I thought it did.
I agree with you. I'm just not trying to be that harsh. I'm going to say I didn't like it and what I didn't like about it. First, I only knew that musician in name only. And then listening to his music, I thought it was just okay. It didn't blow me away.
Well, I didn't understand what he was saying. First of all, it was just the rapping was mumbling and you can't dance.
Well, only your friend's daughter knew who she was, and she's a young. Is he
young
like
whippersnapper?
What was his name? Kendrick Lamar or something?
Something like that, yeah.
No, I mean, is that. I don't know. Is that what the kids are into these days?
That's all the music they're into.
Just hip hop?
That type of music, yeah. It's like. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
There's no rhythm.
He's hip-hop.
There's no
hip-hop
beat to it. That's not even hip-hop, dude. That's just like a rap. They don't even call it hip-hop anymore, dude.
Yeah, they do.
They don't call it that.
Yes, they do, man. What are you talking about?
They don't call it hip-hop,
dude. You better start Googling. It's still called hip-hop.
They don't call it hip-hop, dude. What are you talking about, man? Hip-hop was like back in the Will Smith days, dude.
What's his name? Kendrick Lamar, you said? No, I disagree here, man.
I'll look at the Apple genres. I don't think...
I'm going to look at this right now. Let's see what we got. Kendrick Lamar is an American rapper regarded as the most influential hip-hop artist of his generation.
Maybe they call it that.
So where'd you get off? Where'd you get your information from?
I didn't get it. I'm just assuming. I'm an assuming white guy, all right? Look, I thought hip-hop was an old 80s term. I thought by now these young whippersnappers would have came up with a better name.
And he's from Compton, so he was basically neighbors with Ice Cube, even though they're a different era of hip hop, you know, because it's hip hop that you say that doesn't exist or called anymore. So he's from that area. So maybe he can be in the next Friday movie.
Well, I think back in the day, I think there was like gangster rap, West Coast.
Well,
they had
that. It was called gangster rap. Was called G Funk.
Yeah, and then they had East Coast style.
There was definitely different styles.
They had Miami bass style,
but it still all falls under the genre of hip hop, which also means rap. Man,
I don't know, man. I really don't care about it.
You did give the white, but either way, that music was just not my cup of tea.
Well, it didn't represent New Orleans, and that's what got me.
Right. Well, right. Well, I mean, we kind of got it with John Baptiste.
Does it represent?
I mean, it can't do that when the Saints go marching in at the halftime.
Why not? I would have went off and gone crazy, man.
That would have just been some vanilla New Orleans halftime show.
Dude, if they would have had a New Orleans jazz type band getting down, man, people would have been dancing in the stands.
I'm just saying, the state of music these days with the new stuff not being as acceptable, why didn't they just get an older artist up there that's more popular? I mean, how about like Def Leppard or something like that? They just do 30-second riffs of all their, you know, popular stuff. That would have been cool. How about last year, Rihanna? Oh, I love that performance last year, man.
That was good.
She had her little pregnant belly going and still up there.
If they wanted to cater to some of the youngins, they could have played somebody.
I like some youngin music, but
maybe Post Malone could have been interjected.
But that's the thing. Even it's not so youngin anymore. Rihanna's in her mid-30s, I believe.
Right,
now.
Right.
You know, she's not old by any stretch of the means, but she's not. You know, when I remember her when she was 18, 19, breaking out in the scene, I was like, this chick's kind of cool. It's a little, you know, it's a little bubblegum pop music, but I think she's pretty nice on the eyes. She's definitely got some pipes on her. She can sing her asses off. It's just all that pop music shit. But you know what? I don't mind some pop. I think predominantly most new music just sucks these days.
I also think that's what the NFL represents, is the pop music and hip hop music type culture.
I mean, they should have had Jason Aldean in there with try that in a small town, but maybe that's too white for them.
Nah, that doesn't. I don't think that their fan base listens to. I mean, there are some hillbillies that watch football. There may be some country folks, but
well, maybe you need to introduce to the brothers in the NFL some Shibuki.
Well, Shibuzi would have been good.
Shibuzi?
Yeah, Shibuzi.
I thought it was Shibuki.
I mean, the guy's a good...
He just introduced that to me, Shibuzi. Yeah. I like it.
I mean, the guy's a pretty good singer, but, you know, the thing is, he didn't have enough hit songs to sing. He just had that one song.
That one hit.
Yeah.
That so far has only been his one hit?
I mean, he's got a couple B-side songs that are all right.
Okay.
I know you like B-side songs, but...
Well, depends. Sometimes.
But there's some B... I listened to his list one time, and I was like, yeah, the guy's got a little bit of... You know, everything going on. He's got a little bit of a rap country, and he's a little bit of hip hop, as you would call it. And he has like some country songs with some fiddles in the background and all. But the guy's a good rapper, singer, whatever.
Well, either way, I mean, I get what you say, but
I just don't think you're going to see what you're asking for. You're asking for like a rock group to be there. That's not happening. We're past those days.
Yeah, probably. I think the last rock group to play that I remember was Aerosmith.
Yeah. And the problem is the demographics of people watching football is not listening to those groups anymore.
No. Well, even for the Bucks, Super Bowl a few years ago. I remember The Weeknd was a halftime show, and I like The Weeknd. You know,
he's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's got fun, poppy kind of music, but it was also a weird show, man. I remember the guys in the suits with glow heads and everything. They had these LED face masks on, so they're the.
I remember
LED
that. Yeah, it was weird.
Kind of. It was kind of weird, man. It was kind of dark. It was a lot of red and black theme, which, you know.
Well, he has a lot of deep songs about like I don't know. They're like, I don't know if it's like killing yourself or suicide. He's got a lot of like
really
depressive songs. I don't know. It's just.
Jeez.
Maybe I'm wrong, so don't take what Pirate's saying here is 100% literal. Don't, you know, you want to write the show, Pirate, you don't know The Weeknd. Well, I don't drive downtown, you know, around town with The Weeknd right, blaring out right. my F-150, all right?
Right?
But I have heard a few of his songs, and I'm like, dude, this guy's like depressing me a little bit.
Oh, you know? Well, luckily for me, I don't listen to lyrics, so I don't really know.
I mean, lyrics are what most songs are, so... I mean, there are dance songs or songs you're going to jam out to, but I hear lyrics and I listen to see what music's about.
Yeah.
But I you know, let's also talk about the commercials, Chewy.
Yeah, they were, I think for the most part, pretty good. I only noticed one woke commercial, and that was the flag football.
I seen that. Let's make it all varsity or something.
Well, no, they want to make a – yeah, they want to put it in – yeah, they want to make it a high school
sport
and make it, you know, have a varsity, junior varsity. But where I say the wokeism checked in on that commercial was the fact that here was this super, you know, tough, fast girl and no guy could even pull her flag. You know, for the flag football, they couldn't touch her because she was so fast. And
she's
I was
a badass extraordinaire.
Yeah. And I was like, here we go again. You know, women are just as strong as men. And
women
I'm like,
power.
Statistically, no, statistically, no, you're not.
Well, I thought we're all equal in everybody's
well,
eyes.
Well, it's equal when it's on their terms.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah. So for the commercials, that was the only one that stood out to me for being woke. I was like, I guess.
What about funny?
You know, or as far as funny, that how about that Eugene Levy with his eyebrows
flying off?
Well, he always called them his caterpillars, and they do. They do look like caterpillars.
He's got some big old lashes up there.
Oh, right? Yeah, man. You know,
whenever I see him, it reminds me of Jim's dad.
Well, it's American Pie, of course. Of course. Very awkward.
Now, son, can we sit down and have the talk?
He just always had to make it awkward.
Awkward.
I mean, those movies are funny, man. Don't get me started on American Pie. I love American Pie. Matter of fact, it's been about a year since I've watched them. I might be due for another marathon. Like,
all I need to do is just rewind the Nadia scene over and over and over again.
So beautiful.
That's the only scene I need to watch, and I get my fill.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna push that to the top of my movie list here soon because I haven't watched it. Like I said, it's been about a year, and I'm a huge fan of American Pie, especially being a marijuana smoker now. Everything is funny as hell, and it's still it's just a fun freaking movies, all four of them. And I'm not talking about the spinoffs, just those.
Just
guys.
Remind me not to do some of that wacky weed, because if I did, I would just sit there with my arms down and go, what are you laughing at?
Well, yeah, the way it affects you is different to me. It gets me all jovial and pepped. And
I would be very irate if I had to watch American Pie just all lethargic and shit, like an alligator out in a cold pond out here.
Well, I've tried giving you the stuff I use. It doesn't affect you like that, unfortunately. You know what it is, though? Okay, the stuff I've given you has only been edibles. I think the one last experiment we have to do, but I'm scared to do it, give it to you, is take the vape. But with your lungs, the way you've been coughing, I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
I'm just saying, it enhances the movie-watching experience.
Look, I'm high on life. I'll just watch that funny-ass show and laugh my ass off the way I want to do it.
But yeah, I'm going to make it a point to do that.
So the football, I'm kind of glad they started it early.
Yeah, we weren't, you know, for a Sunday night, like there's this argument that Monday Super Bowl should be a national holiday because more people do call in sick on Monday or ahead of time take the vacation.
Right.
You know, so they've already got it planned. Yeah, I'm off Monday. There's no way because there are some Super Bowl. That's what I like about the Super Bowl tradition. I mean, you and I didn't get trashed or nothing like that, but some people party, man. And
oh, I remember and, you know, back that, in the day
a,
doing it.
That's a good excuse to party.
I yeah, think have, we had a beers a party and, once where both of us got
yeah.
a little bit wrinkled up.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You're right. You know, but we didn't, you know, we
that kept, was back in the Bucks winning days.
Yeah, but we kept it PG this year, kept it low key. No one got stupid drunk or anything like that. But,
just a few and that was it. And we had some good old barbecue.
Yeah, I know. That was great barbecue. But speaking of final show, what about not Ozzy, but Black Sabbath? I heard about this, man. A big old show that's going to be
there are so many people attending this that are famous.
Yeah, well, they're
one of your favorites is going to be the Sammy Hagar is going to be there.
Sammy's going to be
Slash.
There. Slash Metallica is going to be there.
Yep.
Pantera. Wolfgang Van Halen.
Wolfgang is going to be there.
Yeah. And the lineup is not over. They said it's still flexible. You know, it's just well. Here's the thing, and this is really about Black Sabbath. And Ozzy's going to be there. And Ozzy's going to do his own stuff, though, too. He's going to do his solo stuff. But, you know, he was
part of the And he's going to have to do it sitting down, by the
oh,
way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, he's got the Parkinson things going on. But here's the thing about Sabbath. They are the inventors, pioneers, whatever you want to call, of heavy metal.
Oh, yeah.
And because of them is my favorite genre, at least. I know you're more of a country guy, but my favorite genre is rock and roll metal.
Well, let me tell you, and I do like Black Sabbath, though, Chewy.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying it's a homage, all these bands that are going to go play because of Black Sabbath. They exist.
Well, they open the roads and the doors for these guys right. that are on stage with them.
Exactly. So nothing is more of a tribute, in my opinion, than you know, James Hetfield.
Don't they always say that Ozzy was the Prince of Darkness?
Well, that was a self-anointed title. But I'm just saying, guys like James Hetfield on Metallica will tell you they owe their influence to Black Sabbath. I'm going through the Alex Van Halen book, Brothers, right now, the audio book. Same thing. Black Sabbath is one of their influences on top of Led Zeppelin.
Well, didn't you tell me something about Van Halen back in the 70s touring with the Black Sabbath?
They toured with Black Sabbath, and they were killing them, meaning that the crowds loved Van Halen, and they thought the Sabbath guys would be pissed at them, and it turned out they were as humble pie and generous in English mannerisms.
And how did Ozzy sound? What did he say?
They said Ozzy befriended the Van Halens, the band, David Lee Roth, Mikey, you know, Alex, Eddie, and they said he was the sweetest guy, loved hanging out with them. But Van Halen toured with Sabbath when Sabbath was announcing this is they're breaking up.
Yeah, they were done.
Yeah, because they got back together later without Ozzy, but no, this is cool, but that's the only thing. You got to fly out to Bristol, England, or
Birmingham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a music festival. It's like a Woodstock. But that's the thing. If it was in this country, okay, like they say, we're going to do it at some cornfield in Nebraska, I would go. Absolutely. Because one, I've never been to a music festival, have you? I've never camped out for a music festival. You take tents, food, all that stuff. Change of clothes, obviously, some deodorant.
Yeah, the only one I thought about going to one time was when they had Woodstock 1994.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I was really serious.
But if they were going to, and I get why they're doing it, because Black Sabbath is an English based band, and they want to do it at the origin. Probably Ozzy can't travel, you know, that far, all that stuff. But if they were doing it here, because in a lot of ways, America helped them out too. Think about if they made a special announcement, we're going to do one more show somewhere out in this country somewhere. I would go to that. Absolutely.
Well, I think
we'll never trust a band that say they're going to retire.
Right, right. Well, I think the symbolism is, I think they started in England and they're going to finish in England.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's their big thing. You know, that's going to be a hell of a show, man. I think that's going to be fantastic, man. So what else have we got going on here? Don't you got something about an asteroid heading this way? Are we in trouble here? The apocalypse is happening.
We could be.
When's this supposed to happen?
So this asteroid's called 2024 YR4.
Okay.
Newly discovered threat to Earth. And we have a NASA-funded terrestrial impact last alert system called ATLAS. It's down in Rio Hurtado, Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big, big telescope that looks up in the sky and finds these threats only. And they say it could be hitting around December 22nd, 2032.
2032. Okay, so we got about 7 years to prepare for the end of the world.
So what I learned...
And there's nothing to prepare for. Just kiss your ass goodbye.
Well, they say the thing's about the size of maybe a baseball stadium, they say.
That's pretty big.
Mm-hmm. But they say we don't really know the chances of it still remaining that size and also remaining in the orbit that it is right now.
It could shift or it could, yeah.
It's, they're saying that although over the past week, chances of the asteroid crashing into the Earth has doubled only 2% more, but that's because they've seen it wobbling in Earth.
And its trajectory. Okay.
They have been studying these, these things in these planetary defense groups that NASA has, and they also have another James Webb telescope. You've heard of that one?
Oh yeah, yeah. No,
and they've been studying it as well. They're trying to look at both telescopes and see, but this thing, could be coming in 2032. I mean,
do they have an idea where it would impact?
No. They say it's estimated between 130 to 328 feet wide, asteroids like this only come every few thousand years. I mean, when was the last time we had one like a couple years ago?
It was more of a meteor shower. We have those all the time.
Yeah.
Like we run through certain pockets of dust and then we get a meteor shower. It was a couple years ago. I actually got up at like 3 a.m. and went outside. And that was the thing with the meteor shower. It wasn't like it was raining meteors. All you did was every few seconds, you would see one streak across the sky. Just one or two. Not, like you would think, shh, all this stuff coming down. No, it wasn't like that at all. It was very consistent. But it just goes to show you, even though we're a tiny planet relatively to the, our neighbors here in our own solar system, it still goes to tell you how big our planet is, though, too, that even when they talk about this meteor shower, that means, yeah, you see one or two come down every few seconds. It wasn't like I said, it wasn't like it was raining meteors, so.
Well, the big to-do about this is, and I get what you say, we are a big planet, but they need to gather a lot more information before they actually even make a final determination, they said, so they're going to keep using the telescope in Chile,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to gather more
looking
data
at it.
And they say one of the big to-dos is they need to study the living hell out of it for the next year because soon it is going to fade from Earth's view over the next few months.
Ooh.
And it will not become visible again approximately until 2028.
Oh, so then we'll get update trajectory when we can see it again.
And by that time, the son of a gun might be coming straight at us, or it might be way out of the way.
Oh boy!
And I mean, but can a 300-foot wide asteroid, maybe it breaks up a little bit by the time it hits here? Say it hits out in the middle of the ocean. What does that do?
Yeah.
Earth is covered. What if it hits Canada? What is that going to do?
Well, if it hits the ocean, that means tsunamis and earthquakes. If it hits the land, that means it'll devastate it like a nuclear bomb.
Yes.
Like major, major, like major big catastrophic dust. Damage. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Big dust.
Oh yeah. I mean, it'll be a crater, man.
Yeah. There'll be a new lake somewhere.
Yeah. One of that size. Well, eventually if the rain fills up and the water table leaks into it, but, yeah.
Well, I mean, we don't know what it's going to do, what it could do.
Yeah.
I think at one time they say somewhere in Russia, there was a massive.
Yes, that happened. That happened in the 1910s, I believe. It happened in Siberia. It took out a whole forest and everything.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
but.
And they had no warning back then.
No. But was it like a nuclear bomb went off?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It devastated the forest in Siberia, yeah. And all so that stuff.
Baby. Maybe it'll hit a forest or somewhere.
Luckily, it hit a more inhabited region. Well, but think about it. That was over 100 years ago. There was a hell of a lot less people back then.
Than now.
Compared to.
But let's hope it hits a uninhabitable area.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Or you're going to have to send Bruce Willis up there like in Armageddon and tear the asteroid apart by drilling. About this one here, Chuck E. Cheese is reinventing itself. Chuck E. Cheese, iconic family entertainment chain, once synonymous with pizza and animatronics, appeared to have a dramatic comeback. After emerging from Chapter 11 in 2020, Chuck E. Cheese parent company CEC Entertainment has invested over $300 million to revamp the brand and appeal to a new generation of kids and parents. The overhaul, which includes trampolines, updated pizza recipe. God, they needed that. One of the worst pizzas on the planet. I'd still eat it, but God, even when we were kids,
it was cardboard pizza.
Yeah, exactly. That cardboard pizza. Elimination of the animatronics. I guess the Chuck E. Cheese animatronic show is getting fired, which that was weak anyways, marks a steep departure from the company's traditional formula. And the CEO, David Phillips, he was a former Six Flags executive, had led the transformation and ensured Chuck E. Cheese stays relevant in the world dominated by all this. To me, it's a good thing, but what happened to it over the years? It turned into this ghetto stigma, and then they made it so vanilla. Because when we were kids, man, remember you had all the different rooms and different themes, and you had the barbershop quartet, at least the one in our here. Turned out our barbershop was rare. There was only like 12 of them in the country that had them. We were lucky. We had one of them. But and it was an ice cream parlor. And
well, they had the money grab thing that you go in the little tube. Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
the money goes up in here. They had the prizes. You can get the prizes.
Well, they had the prizes even back then. But now it seems like all these arcades, that's all they do are these prizes.
They give you tickets and you get prizes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's more prominent now, like in Dave and Buster's and stuff. But my problem with the current Chuck E. Cheese, it just looks plain vanilla. It's just this big old open room where it used to be about the theming and having some, I don't know, some culture to the whole place. So,
well, the thing is if you take out the mouse.
Right.
And you take out all the stuff that a little toddler or a little kid plays with.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn it into more of a young preteen place, then you might as well take the word Chuck E. Cheese off the sign on the door because it's not about Chuck E. anymore.
They said the mouse character, the Chuck E. Cheese, he'll still walk around, you know, and greet people. So it's just the animatronic show.
That's a sucky job to have.
Oh, I know. It's nice and hot. Yeah. But they said, what other they hear? The sky tube tunnels are now gone, and physical tickets have been replaced by a more streamlined digital system that integrates with the app. Of course, there's going to be an app. In addition to the physical renovations, Chuck E. Cheese has launched a subscription program to keep customers engaged year-round. The new initiative aims to build loyalty and to attract repeat visitors, offering family an affordable way to earn Chuck E. Cheese offerings. The subscription service, which gives families access to various benefits such as discounted playtime, special promotion, is designed to create a steady income stream for the company while encouraging regular visits. I hope they could turn it around, you know, make it great again. Make Chuck E. great again.
Make Chuck E. Cheese great again.
Yeah, make Chuck E. Cheese great again.
I think it's past its prime. Yeah. I think it's 80s, early 80s, late 80s nostalgia.
Arcades are tough, man, but Dave and Buster's is doing something right. I don't care for Dave and Buster's either, but they're doing something right. I mean, you know, every time you go there, when I pop in, it's always freaking jam-packed. So I don't know what they're doing. I don't know that they're doing so different. My only problem with Dave and Buster's is a bunch of games I don't really enjoy playing. I like all the old stuff. You know, yeah. So do you.
Yeah, I like
Dillsong. But I can all play that here, you know. So,
and that's what I think is the demise of Chuck E. Cheese, because a lot of folks back in the days did not have video games.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you went.
That's why you went. And now
people, everybody does.
Everybody does. Most people do.
Yeah.
And they can play them at home. Why spend a whole bunch of coin? And,
right. Well, you can play them on
cardboard pizza.
You can play them on your phone. You can play them on your iPad.
Yeah, you could go to Pizza Rock, pick up a nice pizza, bring it home, play right.
Or even not even Pizza Rock, where you can just have delivery.
Delivery, you know? Domino's, HH, whatever.
Marco's.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they do.
Yeah.
We'll see what they do. So what's... what's this thing you got about alcohol, man? I found that.
Well, over the past few months, and this is one of the reasons I started becoming obsessed with maybe stopping a little bit, is I read, now, there's been several Surgeon General advisories about alcohol over the, even into the Biden administration, saying that... there is an advisory linking alcohol to cancer, and they're saying that it has alcohol is bad for the brain. They're saying that it's mainly causes cancer in your stomach, colon,
liver,
pancreas, bile, brain. And they say it's just the toxins that can get into your body, get trapped in those organs. Alcohol is a toxin.
Right. But how much or what style of drinking are they talking about? Are they talking about the casual drinker, or are they talking about someone who's an alcoholic? Because I always was told, and with some research I've done, you know, being a former fitness guy, you know, or at least worked in the industry, that a moderate amount of alcohol here and there is okay, especially like red wine. I mean, I know wine's not your thing, nor is it mine, but the health benefits of it are tremendous, especially for the heart. So what are they talking about when it comes to, you know, that is it a lifestyle thing of drinking too much, or how much? I mean, what, is there some kind of cap where they say this is how much you should be drinking in a week or a month?
Well, what they said is that their recommendations are is saying that, you know, one, people should either not consume at all,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
or they should put limits on their consumption to, for women, one drink a day.
And okay.
For men, two drink a day.
You know that. You know what? I don't even drink that much now, so that would be a lot for me. You know.
But what's been happening, and especially even during
more than two a days
during the COVID, there was a lot of binge drinking. I know about that, and mm-hmm, also there are a lot of folks that are, you know, they're. More than two drinks a day. There's many people that can do, you know, four, five, six, seven at a time, and it's no problem. And there's some people on a good weekend could put a 12-pack away.
But that's the thing. You pay for it the next day either with a hangover, or you build up such a tolerance that the only way you feel better is by drinking.
Yeah, and what they're saying is for a long, long time, that too many Americans have been living with this outdated assumption that some amount of alcohol is not only harmless, but it's good for you. Remember, they were always talking about, oh, you need to drink wine. It's good for you. It'll dilate your arteries. It'll help.
I said earlier with the wine.
Yeah, it'll relieve stress, dilate your arteries. And they would tell you that, you know, it's going to be healthy. It's a health, mm-hmm, health food thing. Well, they say it's a proven toxin. They say that... one of the things is, I was trying to find a little the little paragraph here, is that it has an interaction with a hormone in our body that basically what it does is it damages protein in our DNA and cells and causes inflammation, mm-hmm, oxidative stress to our DNA.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which then good. When your DNA has been changed, I guess this it breaks down the chemical of alcohol into acetaldehyde,
mm-hmm.
which damages DNA. And that, when your DNA is damaged, pretty much it can cause a cancer risk.
Well, that's what happens to a cell. It gets out of control and starts growing and copying itself, and then starts eating away at the good cells, you know, killing them basically until, you know, it takes over. And that's, you know, all she wrote. You no longer have healthy cells running in your body anymore, and you're basically not going to be able to function like a normal human being anymore. So, yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. I know you've been cutting back on the alcohol, which is a great thing. I mean, you have to notice it when you go out to eat, that when you don't drink that much or when you don't drink at all, that the bill is a heck of a lot cheaper. So why not curb it back a little bit? Not even just for your wallet's health, for your health in general, because, you know, just because it's all natural, it is, doesn't always necessarily mean that you should be eating it or consuming it. I mean, you could argue that a piece of shit is all natural, but of course we're not going to eat it, right? Because it's waste.
Well, one of the things.
Well, look what alcohol does. Alcohol gets in your system, and it, you know, it gives you that, either that boost or that bring it down, you know, kind of feeling, up or lower, depends on how, you know, everyone gets affected differently, right?
Sometimes both.
Yeah, sometimes both, you know. So is that really that good for you? And then these drinks they have these days, they've got these drinks that have caffeine and alcohol in it. Talk about pulling your system, man. That is not healthy for you, man. Yeah. I mean, look, I am.
Or just think about somebody that drinks a Jack and Coke and they drink four or five.
Right.
Of them.
And again, you're having Coke, you're having caffeine, you're having alcohol. That
sure.
And the sugar.
All that sugar. That
corn syrup, which is terrible.
Or how
for
about
you, right?
Somebody that has a Long Island iced tea? You know how much sugar is in a Long Island iced tea?
That and five different drinks mixed in
all
it.
All the alcohol in it? That is
that's not.
That is a.
That can't. That
complete
can't
train wreck.
Well, you know, the whole. You know, my whole health kick the last year now, it's been over a year, which is crazy, has just opened my eyes up to a lot of things like this. And, hey, I will always love beer, man. I want a beer right now.
I mean, if I were to analyze what this doctor is saying, I mean, pretty much I'm not going to, like, say I don't drink beer or nothing. I mean, every now and then I might have a few like
right.
we did.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think I'm going to X out completely having a beer because beer tastes good.
Yeah.
And, you know, you drink one or two, you get a little bit of a tips in you, you know. But am I going to, you know, say it's completely harm? I don't think beer is the worst, even though it's only 4% alcohol.
Right. It's low. It's the lowest.
It's the lowest of alcohol.
Right, because drinking spirits and wine definitely can have more alcohol in
now,
it.
Now, when you're doing shots of whiskey...
Yeah,
that's a little different.
Right. Well, that's it's certain. That's when you're heading into the stronger category. I understand now why people drink spirits, because the drunk feeling hits you faster.
It hits faster.
And hits well. You know, it does. It's a sustaining kind of hit, you know, whereas beer gets you a little. When you drink too much beer at a party, you start getting a little bloated, man. You're like,
yes.
Oh man, freaking, hey, my tummy's all full, right?
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, no one likes that feeling.
Oh, I need to lay down. I'm feeling lousy.
Hey, this is a great idea for everybody to.
Well, and one of the things I noticed that a lot of times I'd be sitting at a table or at a bar with people I know or family or what have you. And sometimes I was the only one drinking, and I said, you know what? I'm the only one drinking. Why am I drinking? What am I drinking for anymore?
Well, part of you, though, I know about you, is you like to drink alone a lot of times anyway, so you might as well be drinking alone at that point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you know, drinking alone after a while becomes a little boring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just drinking a drink, and why? Why not just drink this?
Well,
H2O.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just like anything. When you're in the mood...
It's therapeutic.
Or it's therapeutic. Maybe you're a little stressed. There's nothing wrong with
it. It does take the edge off.
Right. There's nothing wrong with having a couple here and there. And, you know, I'm doing this 30-day cleanse right now. But once I'm done with a 30-day cleanse, you know, a couple nights a week, like Union Night or maybe even Friday night, so back-to-back nights, I'm going to have a couple beers. You know, no, and there's nothing, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing. And here's the other thing I was analyzing. I said, you know, eventually everybody, like we were just saying, you know, my luck, I'll live to be 100. Remember?
Yeah.
I mean, eventually everybody, you pick an age you're going to die at, you know, who knows what age we're going to die at. You know, it could be 78, could be 70, could be 65.
Right.
Could be 80, you know.
Well, and that's something said about live it up a little bit though, too, right?
You don't know when you're going to go, so wouldn't you hate to be on your deathbed where you couldn't drink anymore or couldn't do nothing, and you're like, man,
take advantage.
6 months ago, I should have had a couple Sam Adams before I started getting sick.
Right. Right.
Well, if you're going to get sick, you might as well live it up, you know?
To me, it's like what I've been learning with this food style. Moderation, moderation.
Moderation.
Like us with these cigars. We have maybe one or two a month, and that's it. You know, it's not a day. Like those other guys we see at the cigar place. I think they're there almost every night.
Oh, they are.
And it's crazy that's a lot of money to be spending on cigars. You know, we're the regulars, but we're the regulars of once a week, where I think a lot of those guys are there every night.
An average cigar is, what, $8, $10?
Yeah, and that's like, but even for your health, you cannot tell me that's good for you to keep smoking cigars like that.
For your tongue, your lips, your mouth cancer, esophagus.
Some of these guys do inhale. They
do inhale. They
suck the lung cancer, mm-hmm. You know? So, no, I'm hearing everything's moderation. But, hey, we got one more subject here, and we're going to wrap it up here. What's this announcement you've got for Florida, man?
So now that the Biden generation of crazy people is probably going to...
Degenerates.
Is going to probably...
Subside a little bit.
I have actually noticed some of the stories have subsided, the Florida man's stories. I've noticed...
Well, you got to get back to work, you know?
I've noticed a lot of the craziness, the outlandish stories have thinned down and watered down, and they're not as funny. So I decided to retire it temporarily.
Okay.
And for now, I'm going to, until the Doge position is over, I'm going to release all the outlandish, and I'll write down occasionally an outlandish thing that was X'd out of the budget and read about it and talk about it.
So kind of like the money for condoms in Gaza.
That's one of them,
you know. Which now they say they've debunked it, but either way, you know.
The funniest ones I had on my list were that there was a transgender play in Ireland that was going to get $2 million. Can you imagine that?
All right.
And there was a funding for something like $2.5 million to support having Sesame Street in Iraq.
Oh yeah, well,
the TV show.
Well, the thing is that
what does that benefit the U.S. and those countries?
Well, it benefits
pushing
only the few, and they're really losers because they couldn't earn that on their own through an entrepreneurship by building a business or anything. Instead, they get a federal grant for whatever their cause they're doing, whatever. Like you said, the Sesame Street, I get that's a good cause for kids in Iraq, Sesame Street for Iraq. But it's like, it's not the federal government's place.
It is not their place
to be doing that. And to me, now they're complaining because that's going to get funded, and now they're going to act like a bunch of losers because they don't know how to, you know, do it on their own.
Well, yes, that's true. What I do think a lot of this stuff that's getting X'd out is that they were so much on the push,
mm-hmm.
to push their agenda as quick and as fast as possible that they inundated foreign aid to the max.
Yeah, well, they covered it up by saying foreign aid, but it really wasn't.
And they completely loaded it with all of their agendas. All of their agendas are to put everybody in the commune basket. Everybody is equal and the same, whether you're transgender, bi, whatever you are, straight, you're all together. We're all going to be learning about this together, and we're all going to vote the same as well, because this is going to buy us votes.
That's the collective, man. That's the group. That's the group think. But either way, I'm going to enjoy this.
And transition. This Doge is going to be a great subject to talk about.
There we go. Well, that'll go ahead and wrap up this week's show, but wanted to thank you for listening to show number 38 here. And we are all over the road with Pyre and Chewbacca at AkebonoRadio.com. That's www.AkebonoRadio.com. Look us up on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. And they all copy each other. It's just the show announcements when they're out there. But follow us. It'll help us out here. And then you can send us an email for any comments as well as AkebonoRadio@gmail.com. So any final words before we take off, Pirate?
I'm looking forward to the golden age.
After show.
We back.
Yeah, psych. If you guys wondering what that pause was after the show, and if you actually like forgot, yeah, we just have a little bonus thing here.
It's like playing the Black Sabbath record backwards.
Yeah. And we haven't done this in a while. So I was like, yeah, you know, we can take any random subject and put it in the after.
Well, you know what? What about texting?
Well, that's going to be today's subject of the after show.
Do you know anything about texting, Chewy?
I do. When I first started doing it in the mid-2000s, I remember my younger cousins. I've got like a 15-year gap with some of my cousins. And so, you know, at the time I was like 32, so that would put them right slap dab in the middle of the teenage years. They were 14, 15, 16. But you know me, I'm a big kid. I always got along with them, even with the gap. You know, I was a 30-year-old man, but you know, I always got along with them, and you know, always had fun, exchange ideas. And I remember when they showed me on my flip phone.
Yeah, I had the old Nokia.
Yeah, I don't even remember what I had, but I was like, that's pretty cool. And the thing is with the text, I liked it right away, but obviously with you and I doing this show, if you haven't figured out, we're also talkers, or as my brethren from New York would say, we talk. You know, we talk a lot of you know, that's what we do. But the thing was, okay, texting did not start becoming annoying to me until the smartphone days. Because if you remember with the flip phones, you had the T9. It was a little...
God, the alphanumeric and all that BS. Well,
it was a little predictive texting, but yes, it was kind of a pain in the ass. But there was no other way to do it. Because think about it. You literally only had the buttons on your phone, meaning, you know, the numbers.
No emojis, no nothing.
None of that. Well, no. You could do an emoji, but you have to go through all the you know, I even forgot the English word for it.
I thought it was alphanumeric.
Alphanumeric is meaning text and numbers.
Well, I just remember that when you went to like A, of course, or one was like A, B, C, D.
ABC.
If I wanted to write my name, Dan, I'd have to go 1, 2, 3, 4 to
right,
get to
right,
Dan.
Right. That was the T9.
And I'm like, son of a bitch.
So it took a while, right? Well, where I started to dislike texting is during the smartphone era. And here's the reason why. And I'm not totally against texting, by the way. Let me back up a little bit with let's stay on what I do like about texting. So like I said, it was kind of fun. It wasn't an annoyance. And I thought texting was good to get to the point. What time you want to go to the movies?
3 o'clock, Chewy. I'll be there.
Boom. Or, hey, I'm running late. I'll be there soon.
No problem. Okay.
Right. Or you know, sometimes it doesn't even warrant a reply. But I think being courteous-wise, you should reply. You know, if somebody's texting you, try to make it a point to reply, to acknowledge the conversation. Where I feel texting has gone too far is the people who have totally embraced it now. They don't call you on the phone anymore. They don't show effort because it's easier for them to get behind their keyboard and express what they want to tell you. But then if you reply to them, they pick and choose whether they want to reply or not. Or I didn't see it is the classic excuse. No, you saw it. It's just either you were caught up in the middle or something, you meant to reply, but you forgot about it, or you just chose to ignore it. Because I've had people tell me straight up that they ignore texts.
Well, I sometimes receive, sometimes at any given moment, 6, 7, 8 texts at once.
Sometimes. And how are you supposed to all check that? Right.
And a lot of times it's either a clients, vendors, employees, guys on the thread.
Yeah, but how are you supposed to always check all that? That's the thing that annoys me.
Yeah. And what I have found is because I'm an aging, middle-aged guy here, I forget shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I use a little notebook like you have, and I write it so I can see it in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I write, Joe Blow texted as asking a request for me to come visit his property.
Well, that's a way for you to try to
I'll write and acknowledge see text it. For info.
Right. And acknowledge it. That's,
yes.
But that's,
and I'll write on the text, okay, I'll be in touch.
But that is being diligent. Mm-hmm. That's staying on, because a text is a message, right? You are staying on top of your messages. Where it's turned into is these people that no longer call you, no longer hang out with you.
Or participate, yeah, participate.
Right, or no longer participate, but they love to text you all the time. And if you notice, it's always what they want to talk about. Because what annoys me with text is I'll send something to somebody and there'll be no acknowledgement. So over time with certain people, I stopped acknowledging them. You know, this person had the balls to call me up and says, what, you don't check your messages anymore?
Oh, boy.
And I didn't go like kamikaze World War II on this individual. And I'm not saying any names here. I'm not dropping any names. But I reminded said person, I text you quite often, or at least I used to. But when you stopped replying to me, that let me know you're not interested in having a conversation. And then the excuses I heard, it's just what's happening with me. And part of this is personal to me. And that's why I wanted to talk about it.
Get it out, Chewy. Let's get it out. Let's air it out.
I'm feeling more separation with these people who only want to text with you because now they don't come over. I don't go over there. We don't hang out.
That sucks, man.
It does.
That sucks.
It does. It sucks. And I think it is a shallow way to have a conversation to people that you're supposed to be closer with.
Yeah. They should be calling on the phone. They should be like,
right.
Chewy, what's right. going on, man?
Right.
And hey, by the way, what are you doing this weekend?
Right.
I'm giving you a heads up. Well, we're having a party.
What happened to just catching up?
How's everything going with your cats?
And here's the thing. You what you miss from a call or
a text.
You and I talking to each other right now.
A text cannot contain what's going on in a call.
It doesn't have tone.
Or personality.
It doesn't have the emotion.
Nope.
You lose so
It doesn't have much. Humor.
How about context? How many times have you texted with people and they completely sometimes people take things out of context when we're talking. Text in a lot of ways makes it even worse. You know,
well, yeah, when you're when you're having a discussion with somebody and I really don't like that. That could and then they go, "What do you mean you don't like that?" I'm just playing with you, man.
Right. But then.
But you say that in a text. Right. I really don't like that. You have to put the stupid
emoji.
I hate this.
You don't have to.
You have to put LOL or LMFAO, whatever the hell that is.
Because now you're trying to express the emotion.
You're trying to express it. And that's extra
right.
effort
right.
that you have to put into it.
Right. And then some of my friends know this about me, and this absolutely cracks me up. I tell them I don't really care for texting. They told me, well, why don't you do talk to text?
Oh, boy.
So basically you talk and it puts the text out, right? I reply to that person, how about we just talk on the fucking phone? I just, you know, it's in what's happening is just, I think more people are using it to disconnect. And it comes down to, I see its benefit. I see its function. But when you use it exclusively to stay in touch, and when you try to have conversations via text, that's where I'm checking out.
Well, like you said, everything's out of context. And I'm honest
with it. And I'm honest with it. I had somebody ask me a question via text that I thought was political. I replied straight up, too much to text. That was my way of letting them know, I'm not going to sit there and compose four paragraphs of a dissertation to satisfy your curiosity via text of something that we can talk about right now. Had you have the balls, and it saddens me to say this, but people don't have balls. They're scared to talk to people anymore these days. And that's where all this disconnect's happening, even amongst families. I was at these friends all one time, and they called or texted somebody from within their own house.
They were sitting at the sofa, and the other one was sitting at the kitchen table,
or one was upstairs.
Hey, can you give me a sandwich?
Right. One was upstairs. What happened to, like, the old man? Hey, get down here. It's time for dinner. You know, you just make an announcement.
Ring the damn triangle. Ling, 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 ling.
Right. So, and you know what? I've tried talking to people about this. They don't get it.
Well, you know what I think.
They don't get it. And you know what? These people I've been talking about with them, they're the ones I'm disconnecting from. I'm not cutting them off. It's just I'm giving them the
you're making less effort, too.
Well, I'm putting in the effort that they're putting into it, which is little to none.
You're going
to
make less effort.
And I think that's what a text is. I think text is minimal effort.
I think a lot of people, they just look at it as, I don't have the time to be on the phone and have a conversation.
Or I don't like talking.
I'm not a big talker. I'm not a people person. Well,
you're wrong. You're
then you know what?
Then you know what? Then they don't know me then.
No, they
don't know you either.
No,
we're
don't.
Talkers.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there's a lot of people too that I don't like confrontation.
It's not even that. It just,
you know,
it's just, look,
I think people,
part of the texting side effect is the smartphones, because now they've got all these other things they can entertain themselves with. They can play video games. They can look at TikTok videos. They can go on YouTube. They can just,
well, they're trying to do other things,
do whatever all through this device. And what are they doing while they're on this device? Not interacting with people, at least in the way that they should.
Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe when you're texting so-and-so, they're looking at TikTok and like, oh, Chewy, let me text him real quick. I don't have time to talk to him because I'm looking at this cool video on TikTok. Okay, Chewy, can you come over this weekend? We're having a party. Okay, let me get back to TikTok. And I think people are so lazy nowadays.
It is lazy.
That they just can't say, you know what? Let me put the X on the TikTok, close that app. Let me call Chewy real quick. Chewy, what's going on, man? How's things going?
Why don't you donate
5 minutes of your time to a conversation?
Well, at least in my circle of friends, I think you and I are in a rare category, my friend, because just...
Yeah, we're old school is the problem.
But I embrace the new school. We both have smartphones. You know, I know you're not much into the social medias like I am, and that's okay, but... These things are pretty fun, man. I mean, they take pretty damn good pictures now. I remember back in the day, I used to have my big SLR with me. You hardly ever see me use it. And that SLR still works great. But this is just so much more convenient.
Well,
the people are wrapped up into their own world now when it comes to this. And they don't see the disconnect that they're causing.
Well, just like the conversation we were having, the storyline, we were talking about alcohol, the subject, maybe people need to use their phone in moderation too.
And there is a big movement going on about this because these smartphones are causing people to be more edgy, more anxiety, because they don't know how to interact with folks. Like even, you know, little bit of dirt here, but nothing. I won't go too major into the weeds or the details. But even on this cruise I went on, we had to practically yell at one of the girls to go order a pizza because she was too afraid to go ask the man to make me a pizza. Like they have, like on Carnival, they have 24-hour pizza,
nice,
which is awesome.
Nice.
And they have a variety. And you can get a slice or you can get a whole pie, okay? All she had to do, and she wanted pizza, all she had to do is go up there and ask the nice man working the pizza counter what she wanted. She stiffened up and came back to the table. I don't want it now. And then I was like, no. I called it out. I was like, no. You're too afraid to ask that guy what you want because he happens to be a stranger to you. And that's fine. He is a stranger. But he's an employee of this ship. He's making pizzas. And I said, I already just talked to the guy. He's a nice guy. Why don't you go up there and get it? And then they started busting her chops for it over everybody else. And then it turned into, well, Chewy, not everyone's as sociable as you. I'm like, no, not at her age. She shouldn't be acting that timid.
No, she's acting like a three-year-old.
Right, man. Asking for a guy for a slice of pizza, what kind of pizza you want. Come on, man. Because these parents these days, this is also a digital pacifier now, too. And you guys can't see this. I'm holding up my phone. This is a digital pacifier now. This is how you shut people up. And I don't mean just kids. I mean just people in general.
Adults, yes.
Like when we go out to the restaurants, how many times do we see people sitting at the table all just
I've seen husbands and wives sitting there at the table.
Not talking to each other. Goofing around on their phones. I'm like, why are you even out here?
I've seen a family of four, the husband, the wife, and the two kids, and they're all up on a damn phone. And I'm like, that's disgusting, dude.
That is, man.
They're not communicating.
No.
You know, I use it I use it sparingly when I need to.
Right.
And you know, well, I use it for a business tool, of course.
And I come to the point where If that's the kind of relationship you want to have with me via text, then that's fine because that's what you chose, not me. And I will reply to these people when I damn well please, because that's how I feel like they've been doing to me. You know, that it's only about what they want to talk about. And, you know, that's fine. I can even to get to the point to ignoring it. Or, you know what? The nice thing about these days, you can do it so fast. I can just do the thumbs up on something. You know, you know, it's like, hey, this is all part of texting. I'm just playing along in your world. And you know what? That's what happens in life. Maybe you grow apart for some people. And they say as you get older, your circle gets smaller. My circle is definitely getting smaller because the people don't put in, I don't think people put in the effort that they should these days for a fruitful, wholeful relationship. And it's so obvious and they just don't want to put the energy into it. They don't want to put in the effort. It's a lot easier to get on your text and send something, somebody to in their world or get bitched out by a friend of ours, you know, via text, 4 or 5 paragraph dissertation instead of talking to somebody. I think that's just a chicken shit way to stay in touch. I think it's a chicken shit way to stay in touch with anybody.
Well, it's a chicken shit way to make a point, to fight, to discuss, say you're sorry. Like saying you're sorry by text is no good. You know, texting is good for some things, like we said, but it definitely is not a way to run a friendship or a relationship.
And the thing is, I've had conversation with some friends about it. Like I've tried to talk to them, give them a heads up and, hey, I don't really text or anything like that. They don't even listen to that. They keep.
No, they're going to do what they want to do.
Yeah, they keep blowing up my phone. And then I was like, that's fine.
There are people that assume that everybody's phone etiquette is the same.
yeah.
that everybody
offers. Whereas I make it a point to put this down as much as possible, because the other thing about these phones that I, over the years I had to learn to do, every time it beeped, I was picking it up. And after a while of this, whether it's an email, Facebook, whatever, all these apps are letting you know that you got to notice. So I was constantly picking up my phone.
Nah, and, you don't need to do that.
Well, I checked myself and said, wait a minute, this ain't healthy.
That's controlling you, dude.
That's it. Or when you're trying to watch a TV program.
It's interrupting the show.
It's interrupting the show because now I'm not paying attention to the TV because I'm fucking around on my phone. So, you know, me, you know, everything I watch is recorded. So I'm constantly rewinding. And I was like, this is so stupid. One or the other. This whole idea of multitasking, too, that's horse shit.
Well, you what know? You could do, Chewy, I turned off all of my
chimes.
I even silenced some of the conversations that are overwhelming. There are some threads that are overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you taught me that a long time ago. Yeah. And then I like emails and stuff. I don't care that Rural King is sending me a coupon right now.
Right.
Maybe later I do, but, you know, I'll do all that when I'm doing
it. But that was the point. It was, you're right, all that beeping and picking up your phone, that's controlling
all
you.
All that does is take your focus off of what you're supposed to be focused on.
And I'm glad Apple at least introduced a screen time report that you can opt out of if you want, but just give you an idea of how much you're on your phone and what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, it'll tell you. It's accurate.
It's a check. It's a check to yourself. And I actually check it. It's like okay.
Well, I really think, and I always think sometimes, what would the world be like right now if we did not have
smartphones,
or even if we just still had Nokias?
I think it would be more personable.
Because, and I think we'd be in a good
place.
Because
that's what we did back in the day before the internet. You got on the phone, called up your buddy or your girl. Hey, what are you doing tonight? You want, or if you're planning, hey, what are you doing this Friday? You want to go out? I'd like to take you out, whatever it is.
How about this? I remember back when I had a girlfriend or like the wife I'm with now. Back in the day, she would write me a note and pass it to me.
Yeah, notes.
And I opened
it. That was more personable.
I'd open a note. She'd say, hey, what's going on this weekend? You want to hang out? And I'd open it and I'd write back on the same note, fold it back up and pass it back.
Well, that was our version of texting.
Back in the day, it was. But it was personal because there was handwriting.
Yeah. It was more effort.
Yeah, man.
You know, that's all it is. Texting has tried to replace a conversation amongst relationships, colleagues, whatever. And I think it's doing a terrible job at it because now it's made people more introverted and less personable. And it's like, nah, man. You know, luckily, even what I do from work, I work from home. 99% of my meetings are at least on video. So at least I still get to talk to the person.
Oh, fake time.
Interact. Well, it's not just fake time. We got other things we use. There's Zoom and there's AWS Chime. There's Microsoft Teams. The whole point being,
You see a face.
You hear a voice. Right.
You place a face with the voice.
Right. You have interaction. You have real-time interaction. Because that's the other thing about text. It's not real-time conversations unless the two people are actively,
The best relationships, whether it's a business relationship, a personal relationship, anything that has to do with friendship, romance. I mean, there's people that meet through the phone for romantic adventures.
And
I'm just thinking, I would rather meet somebody face-to-face than through a phone app.
Because it feels forced.
Yes. And I would rather...
You want it more natural.
I would rather communicate with a business client and go and meet them and shake their hand and say, hey, let's do this job together. Let's work on this job together.
But even having a conversation via phone, even though it's using technology, it's still a natural conversation.
Sure.
And that lacks... in text.
Yes. I mean, I think when you speak, there's a lot more interaction and interjection and vocabulary you can use. I think a lot of times,
kind of like what we're doing in these shows, these podcasts, we're interacting and interjecting and feeding off of each other.
I mean, there was a lot of having a conversation.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah, it is a conversation. Yeah. I think texting limits your conversation because a lot of times you have to shorten your sentences because I don't know about you.
Well, I won't have a conversation via text, and I'll let them know. I said, I'm not talking about all that.
I mean, I don't have conversation, but what I'm saying is if I have to type a sentence out, I try to pick the less amount of words possible. Right. Like, yes, I'm going to be there at this time. I'm just going to put, we'll be there at this time. I don't want to type it out all that because
people are just so chicken shit these days. Like that person that asked me that political question and I replied too much to text. You would have think that person would have been curious enough to call me up and say, okay, go ahead and tell me because, you know,
nope. What was their question? Like, what did you think of the election results or something?
I don't even remember what it was.
And so they're asking question that's going to take 10 minutes to talk about.
Which would be fine. And you can get it out so much easier in 10 minutes. Can you imagine trying to transpose 10 minutes worth of a conversation in text?
Oh, it'd be back and forth.
That 10 minute conversation would take 2 hours to get through.
Well, yeah, because who knows if that other person is going to answer right away with the text.
That's what I mean.
And you got to read it and go back.
That is assuming both of you are actively texting each other and seeing at least with the Apple, we see the bubble. We see somebody's replying. So a lot of times I'll sit there and I'll wait a second or two to see what goes through. At least that's somewhat of an active conversation. But how often does that happen these days?
No. And I think
with the droid people, we don't even get to see that.
And also think about this. I think a lot of people also communicate through social media.
It's the same idea though.
Yes.
It's just called instant message. You're just replacing text it's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
It's different.
I think there's direct messaging.
There's Facebook Messenger, Facebook. Yes. It's text.
It's the same damn thing. And I think there are people that they think everybody, that's the norm. That's how people communicate.
Uh-huh.
And I think some people I've spoke to, and sometimes I don't speak to these people at all anymore like you do.
Right.
I think they are repulsed if somebody gives them a phone call.
There are people that sit there and says they won't answer it.
Yes.
I had a friend of mine. She's done this to me 2 years in a row at the holidays. I give her a call just to check in.
Yeah. Hey, Merry Christmas.
Right. Doesn't answer the phone, which is fine. It's Christmas Day. I get it. You're busy with the family, whatever. A day or two later, I get a text. Hey, I got your phone call. What's up?
Jeez.
And I say to myself, wow, I took the time to call you. I left you a voicemail. It took you 2 days to get back with me. And you send me a text. I get it. We're busy. But I always been told, especially you people in relationships, but this also applies to friendship. You have to put some work into it. What happened to that? Are people just become that disconnected these days where they don't even want to have a conversation with you anymore? Is that what's happening in our society? I say to myself, Pirate, I know not everyone's built like that, but it seems like it's more of the norm these days, which is sad. I don't want to be around those people much anymore because the friendship has now turned shallow.
Well, you have a good point.
Not fake. It's not fake because you had something at one time, but then these people have chosen to do things via a keyboard.
You're definitely going down the right path here, and I think
it's about protecting our peace now.
You're making a great point on what a lot of people need to work on.
Yeah, and that's assuming they hear this show because they're like, you know.
And it's a very, very deep and meaningful subject that it applies to a lot of folks.
But these people don't think about it that way.
No, and like I said, I think a lot of people.
They don't even take it for granted.
They just think. Everybody is just like them. They're like, I tell people, I can give a damn about Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? You know what all I like on Facebook is the stupid jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't care that you had a birthday party last week. Yeah. Who cares? You know what? If you want to show those things to me, why don't you call me and tell me, hey, we had a birthday party. Would you like to see some of the pictures? Sure, send them over to me. I'd love to look at them. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to thumbs up your pictures. I don't care, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to look like a fool and make a dumb comment about it, you know?
I use social media for entertainment. I don't use it for anything serious because, look, we know people out there that want to get political and argue. Yes, and yes, to me, again, it's a waste of time because now you're arguing via your comments.
And I don't know nothing.
So stupid, man.
I just think that and I'm just really thinking that it's just if you're gonna have a relationship, you need to be in the relationship. You need to
put some effort into it.
Effort. You need to talk. You need to spend time together. You can't spend time through a conversation through text. The only way you're gonna spend time is going to that person's house, knocking on the fucking
hanging out with them.
Yep. 2 weeks, can I come in? Sure, let's get a coffee.
Yeah.
That is being personable. That is being face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just, but the problem is this society in the last 20 years has gotten addicted to this glass. Oh,
God. Here. Well, that tiny little TV is what it is.
And they're addicted to it. And it's just the younger generation, they don't know any better.
Well, that's all they've ever had. But I don't fault just the younger generation, man.
No, there's some adults, too.
These gripings, I've been telling you, are people our age.
Well, there are some adults that have gotten complacent.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's a good subject you're talking about. I think there are people, and everybody can work on this subject, you know, a lot mm-hmm. more. I think communication is a number one key in anything, whether it's, you know, a relationship, whether it's work, whether it's, you know, anything that we're doing involves communication. What we're doing is a piece of communication.
Oh yeah, big time. I mean, we're just having a.
I mean, we could easily say
structured conversation to a degree, but
well, we're doing it for enjoyment for others, but
well, for entertainment,
we could easily say, well, we just don't like to put our voice out there, so. We're gonna put it into a blog instead.
Well, now you're sounding like NPR, with, you know, where they do the little ASMR and they just talk really.
That's nice. What I was trying to talk like.
Well, welcome to All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca.
And we're not gonna talk.
My name
like
is Chewbacca, and I want to talk about how I don't like texting tonight.
And I'm Pirate, and I agree full-heartedly that I think we're in a bad position in the United States. The whole population of Donald Trump
is a dictator that's just going to take over the world. He's letting his Yabro South African guy go into and look at our businesses records and expose the money we need for our programs.
Though
unconstitutional.
All the while he's sleeping on the floor in the Doge office all night long.
How did our conversation about text turn into Elon Musk? Anyways, we'll go ahead and wrap it up here, man. I just wanted a good segment, man. I just wanted to get that off my chest, and you know, and that's the thing. I'm at the point where I don't expect anybody else to have these feelings or think about the implications of just living your relationships through text message.
Someone pulls up a phone. Tell them to think about what they're doing when they text somebody.
I've tried to have the conversation with some of these texters in one ear, out the other. So you know what that means? Start pushing away. Start disconnecting because that is classic cannot read the room.
Yeah. So all of you folks out there, try to work on your communication skills.
Work on communication skills.
Try to keep Chewy happy in his relationships.
So. Well, I have, you know what? I have high standards when it comes to that. Everyone's got their standards. When it comes to that part of my life, I have high standards. And, you know, I've been told I'm an emotional about it. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I am emotional about it because I care about the people in my life. And when I see them shitting on it, basically, and taking it for granted, or thinking being a cynic, thinking I'm trying to get something out of them. Boy, I really don't want to have a whole lot to do with you much anymore. You showed me the colors of your character. unfortunately, COVID brought that out a lot. Not just the texting, just people's characters, you know, and
yeah, we can go down another rabbit hole there,
but we won't. Yes. We won't. But that's where it led to, you know, that's where it could lead to. But anyways, well, thanks a lot for talking about this in this after show, and we'll see you later.